as a part of your family. And the desire, Lord, that we have for others to join us in this great celebration of family. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a few songs together as we begin.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. All our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
The rocks are going to cry out if we don't sing that song. Often we use that song during the triumphal entry, just preparing our hearts for Easter, but it's a Hosanna song every day. It's wonderful to start our day recognizing the presence of God and how that just gives us that focus for the day. Amen. Amen.
Covered by your grace, so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand. Here I am, humbled by the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. Now I found the greatest love of all. It is mine since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. Majesty, majesty,
forever,
forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty, in the presence of your majesty, majesty.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to take a time just to recognize the opportunity of giving as we continue to worship. Worship has many different methods, different ways we express our love for God, and song is just one of many. And it's important. It's an important part of expressing that love and to understand God's love for us. Giving is another way that we do that. And we want to give you that opportunity just to be faithful in that, as it does help us to further the kingdom of God. It's something that we do because we love him. And I pray and I hope that you understand what a blessing it is to be able to give and honor God in such a way. He is just so wonderful in pouring out his blessings upon those who are faithful with their money. And it's hard to grasp that if you've never experienced it. But I encourage you, if you haven't been there and been in a place where you've honestly, truly tithed, you're missing out. You really are. And it's not, oh, we need your money. You know, it's not this big promotion. Yeah, honestly, I would rather not have money given from the wrong heart than to have what comes from a grateful giver that experienced, wow, God blesses beyond measure when I'm faithful. If you have not understood that, I challenge you to pray through that and see if you can find that blessing that he has promised. And I didn't plan on giving a little speech about tithing, but sometimes God just inspires us to speak. And I really believe that someone needed to hear the challenge of being faithful in tithes. So if that's for you, God's been talking to you already. I'm just saying it because he told me to. Just take it for what it's worth, that God wants you to grow in a new way. And so trust him. Trust him in that. Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to give. I'm so thankful that you have challenged me, even when I was like five, when I got when I got my allowance, I still remember taking out my tithe And I brought it to Sunday school, and it wasn't much. Sometimes it was just a few cents. It might have been 10 cents. There are times where I saved it and brought in a dollar, and that's something that I am thankful for, the lesson I learned young. And I had to relearn it as an adult, as a teenager, as an adult. But you're always faithful, and I thank you for that. I just pray for everyone who's been so faithful. Continue to bless them, Lord, beyond measure, that they can just exceedingly honor you in every way. And for those who have yet stepped out in faith in that way, I pray you give them the courage to do it. And I know your blessing is waiting. And I just pray that you will just encourage your children to extend and express that way of worship in a way that's never been accomplished in their life. But it is so worth giving from the heart. And I just pray your blessing on each and every one who's able to give in this offering today. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Later on in the service, you'll have another opportunity to give because we have a Gideon service today. How many know what the Gideons do? Okay, not even half. All right. Well, you're going to learn a little bit about the Gideons. And you'll obviously, if you've been in a hotel and you've seen that Bible, that's a Gideon Bible. We're thankful for those Bibles. But there's other things that they're able to accomplish other than just that. But we have a great guest today who's family who will be sharing. But we'll have another opportunity to give later as well for the Gideons. But let's continue to worship, shall we? And just bless the Lord. And as we sing, you're welcome to bring your offerings. And it is BGMC Day. You see the buckets. We'll have a little speech about that later, or just a little encouragement for BGMC. But whenever you're wanting to give that gift, you can. So come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, Father, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your head, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. Rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Your burdens, course again. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, Father, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt. Come as you are,
no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Hallelujah. If you've got those burdens today, you can trust him with those burdens. Amen. Lay them at his feet. Hallelujah.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame, when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence, I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is was a fire deep in my soul. I never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run. Run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Oh, Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my.
Picked up on a theme today, let me give you a hint. You can't run from the love of God. He's got his eyes on you. He loves you more than you imagine. And there are people in this world that he loves as much as he loves you, and they're lost souls that need that love. They need that understanding of forgiveness. And when you come to that place of faith in Jesus Christ, your life changes forever. doesn't mean that life suddenly gets easy. In some cases, life gets harder. It's actually easy sometimes to live with your own agenda, making your own plans, never sacrificing, never surrendering to anybody but your own plan. Doesn't mean it works out. It's a dead end, literally. And when you come to a place of surrendering to Jesus Christ, you have a peace which passes understanding. It means it doesn't even make sense, but you have it. You have joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. That means you can't even explain why there's such gladness when everything else seems so terrible and horrendous. But there is an amazing transformation from the inside that affects everything on the outside. How you address it, how you live, how you love. One of the greatest blessings is freedom from a bondage that you didn't realize had you in chains. Now, some of you know that bondage and you realize it's real. When I was 7, I didn't know. But the burden that lifted from me was incredible. I have another brother that has a similar experience. He was an adult. I was a kid. We contemplated this. But when I was truly born again as a child, a burden lifted from me that was so heavy, and I didn't realize how heavy it was until it was gone. And I literally felt like I could fly. I thought I was going to start to float. Now, 7-year-old kids, they have great imaginations anyway. But this was a real feeling of incredible grace and freedom. My friend who experienced the same had been living life for some time. And we contemplated, how can a 7-year-old and an adult have the same experience? What was so terrible about me at 7? Well, it really wasn't any different. It's not about what you do. It's about where you stand. Are you standing in His grace? Or are you standing in the judgment of God? We are all condemned. We're already judged by our own sin. Eternally separated from God. With no hope. All we have is what we can experience on this earth, and it's not always that great. But in Him, we experience genuine eternal love and joy and peace that never leaves. It can't be explained in words, but it's real. And a 7-year-old boy and a 20 or 30 or 40 or 50-something-year-old man can experience the same freedom. The same relief. The same joy. This song is about being free from our bondage. I pray that you've experienced it. I have. If you haven't, I pray that you will.
Fear. I am a
child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God.
One more time.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drawn in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk.
Jesus, that we are here, Lord. That we're a child, your child, Jesus. We just thank you for that, God. Praise your name. Take a moment right now. Express your heart to Jesus and thank him that we can be a present, that we can be his child. Just take that for a moment. Tell him what you want right now in your own heart at the moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray that you would minister to us, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross for us, God. That, Lord, we are your child. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to fear, Jesus. Totally in your hands, God. We thank you, Lord. Now, if you have a need, Lord, if you guys have a need out there, just raise your hands right now and let's pray. If there's a need, there's for that, God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that there's needs within this church right now, God. Within this body, within this community, God, you know what they are. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them, that you would touch them. And, Lord, you would pour your spirit out upon them in a mighty way, God. Give them confidence, Lord, for these needs, Lord, we pray. that, Lord, everything's committed to you right now, God. We ask that in your holy name, God, that you will minister, you will touch them, you will pour out your spirit. And, Lord, we pray there would be great testimonies that would come back and we'd see your mighty move in this church, Lord, in this community, in this state, in this country, God, that you would pour out your spirit and people would say, hey, we need to come back to you, Jesus. If we humble ourselves and seek you and pray to you, God, you will heal our land. We ask for that, God. We ask for that today, Jesus. We thank you, God. Now bless each person here today, God, and that you would minister to them in a powerful way, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with the rest of this service, be with our speaker today, as he talks about Gideon, Lord. In that ministry, Jesus, we pray that you'd bless that. Be with the children down in the children's church, God. Just encourage today that everybody would be blessed for you in a powerful way. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It is a good day to be in church, isn't it? Be here worshiping God and seeing what he has to do in this great day. We thank you for that. Just a couple of things. We got Common Ground again this May 4th here with the youth on Wednesday at 6:30. We're going to do a new thing this Friday, High Point date night. So we're, all the students that were in High Point, the parents were there. Their parents give them a break this Friday night. Like that. So we're looking forward to that. We'll see what happens there. It's going to be a good time for them. Nice relaxation. This Saturday morning, May 7th, 8 a.m. here at the church, we're going to have the men's breakfast. It's been a good time there. We'll be able to have some fellowship and learning God's word in that. So at this time, I'd like to have MJ, if she'd like to come up here and share.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. I just am so excited. VBS is coming up. Woohoo! Yes. It is actually going to be 4 weeks from Friday evening and Saturday yesterday. I can't believe it's going to be that soon. But we are getting ready and we are so excited. It is anchored, deepening our faith in God. And I think the kids are going to have a great time. So in your bulletin today, there should be a little piece of paper that looks like this. We just need a little bit of assistance from you guys. Even if you can't be here and, help lead kids around to different stations, we sure would love your support in other ways. Prayer is always appreciated. For those of us who are going to be working, we're going to be tired by the time we're done. But also for the kids, that they're open and that they hear what God has for them. The other thing is we need some things for crafts. If there's anybody who is so inclined, we'd love to have you donate some items, and I have a little list. I've already had someone tell me that they have the string, so you can cross that off. And then the other thing that I forgot is I could use some bags of goldfish crackers. We're going to divvy those up into smaller containers. If you can tell it's anchored, it's under the ocean. So there's fish and there's anchors and there's seahorses and there's all kinds of fun things. On Friday the 3rd, we're going to start at 6:30, and it's just going to be registration and a fun night. We're just going to have some games. We're going to play some music. You don't have to come at 6:30 if you want to feed your kids and then come at 7. You're welcome to do that. It's more of a time to just get the kids registered, give me an opportunity to get them into their little groups for the following day. Saturday, we're going to start at 8:30, letting the kids come in, get organized, know where they need to be. We will feed them lunch at 11:30, and we will be done at 2:30. On that Saturday. So for parents, and we'll get some more information. You'll be seeing it up on the screen in over the next few weeks as well. But just giving you an idea about what we're going to do. Thank you.
All right. I'm looking forward to VBS. It's always a good time to have some kids come here, introduce them to God, to Jesus, and the love that we can share with them. So if you have some kids out there, some neighbors, make sure you put a bug in their ear and let them know that that's going to happen. So, all right. Well, today is Mission Sunday. And on Mission Sundays, we talk with some of the downstairs. We're going to talk with some of the kids with BGMC and what they did. This month, we are emphasizing the Convoy of Hope. And so the Convoy of Hope is basically it's a faith-based nonprofit organization, and Convoy of Hope helps to empower others to live greater independence and freedom from poverty and disease. They've worked in 48 states and 127 countries. So they're out there doing a lot of different things. And here's a letter from the Convoy of Hope to the boys and girls of BGMC. And it'll explain a lot more than what I'm doing right now here. So let me share this to you. We want to thank everyone involved with BGMC for providing the funds for food that went to help the poor and the suffering in Haiti and Pakistan and around the world. Besides all the relief work in Haiti, BGMC funds helped Convoy Hope with pure water incentives in five other countries: Nicaragua, El Salvador, the Philippines, Honduras, Ethiopia, and the Dominican Republic. BGMC funds helped Convoy of Hope with the feeding program in the Philippines, where 30,000 children every week receive food and a gospel message. BGMC funds helped Convoy of Hope providing Christian comic books for our U.S. outreaches. We did over 65 U.S. outreaches in major cities of America. More than 250,000 children were given a gospel comic book that presented the love of Jesus. In other words, without the help of the thousands of dollars that BGMC has given, Convoy of Hope would not have been able to do the work that is desperately needed every day among the poor and the suffering. It's really children giving and ministering to children. Thank you for your generous spirit of giving in partnership. We are forever indebted. They, the poor and suffering, who have no voice, and are waiting for us. Thanks for your help, and I pray that it continues. Blessings on your leadership and your grace. All right, so Convoy of Hope is out there actually giving tangible stuff with food for the poor, and also to do a lot with water purification, you know, setting up places where they're able to drink. Mighty and powerful work out there. And that's what you're doing. And so the funds of the BGMC here, these barrels here that we do every month, all that goes for that and everything. And so I wanted to let you guys know what we're going to be talking about this morning in Children's Church. Here in a moment, we're going to excuse the children to go there and everything. But let's pray for the Convoy of Hope. Let's pray if you have any more of an offering here. I know a lot of people have already given, but if you do, there's some of the buckets here, and you can do that in just this moment here. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have done through the Convoy of Hope, God, in the funds, Lord, that we have presented to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that they would continue to reach these poor in a tangible way, with food, with water, but most of all, your love, Lord. Give them an opportunity, God, to be able to come to you and know your saving grace. And that, for those children and for the families and for the adults, everyone, God, would know your saving grace, Jesus. We thank you for that. We ask you to bless this BGMC offering, Lord. We thank you now in your wonderful name. Amen. All right. So if you have anything left or anything for the BGMC, come on up and take care of that. So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Doug.
And just an official congratulations to Doug Gentry on his ordination. It's official now. He is ordained with the Assemblies of God. And God bless you. At our network council on Tuesday night, the bulletin showed the names of all those who were being ordained. And some of them had red letters with them. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. You know, Doug's really important. He's got the red letters. Well, the red letters actually said that general council hasn't approved it yet. But while we were there, it was approved. So it's now absolutely official. So anyway, it's wonderful to be able to introduce to you a friend and a family member, truly, who's been a continual guest here at our church, as he's been here many times with his grandkids. Kids can be dismissed, by the way, for BGMC. Go ahead and go to kids' church for those of you who are in the age group. But Dale, would you come and share your heart? I know you have a tremendous passion for the Lord and for family. And we're glad to have you here as you represent the Gideons and what they can do in our communities, but also what we can do as a church. You have a word from God, and so I'm just going to turn it over to you. Amen. God bless you.
Should do it.
That'll do.
There you go.
I'm there. I can hear myself. That's good.
There's stairs over here.
Oh, okay. Well, we took the hard route. I like a big podium. I got lots of stuff. It's truly a privilege to be here. And, you know, I want to thank you as a church body. I've been coming here for quite some time. And from the time I first walked in these doors, I felt welcomed and loved. So I want to give you a hand. I've enjoyed making new friends and meeting people here, but I just want to congratulate you on how welcome, how hospitable you have been to me. It's not always that way. Some churches are kind of cold, and they're standoffish. If you're not part of the group here, I walked in and I felt like I was part of the group. So, anyway, Father, your servant comes before you today, and he needs you desperately. I thank you for your precious promises. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. I ask that nothing I would say or do here today would bring reproach upon you or your name or the Gideon organization. But most of all, I crave your presence and your utterance today. And most of all, I want to say thank you. And I love you. I love you. And I love you. Amen. We'll start with a song today. You'll find it here. This song was written by the Holy, was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but penned by a Native American evangelist by the name of Maynard LaVallee, a dear, precious friend of mine. And it's called I Am That I Am. Running in darkness with no place to hide, searching within and not satisfied. I'm getting tired, I can't go on. I'm afraid that I'm losing ground. I'm searching for answers I can't understand. Why my heart feels so empty, I'm a broken man. Can someone tell me what I must do to gain peace of mind and heal this broken heart too? I am that I am. Don't be surprised. I give you my life and open your eyes. I love you, my child. I want you to see. Oh, how much that you mean to me. He left the splendor of heaven. He came to die. Obeyed the Father and brought glory on high. A broken body, an eternal plan. Fill the heart of this downtrodden man. Now I'm walking in the light. no need to hide. Deep within, I'm now satisfied. I am that I am. Don't be surprised. I give you my life and open your eyes. I love you, my child. I want you to see. Oh, how much that you mean to me. He has a plan for you and me. He sends us out that all men might be free. Souls in darkness with no place to hide. Searching within, but they're not satisfied. When they ask you who sent you, don't be surprised. Share the hope that's within you. Help them realize. I am that I am. Don't be surprised. I give you my life and open your eyes. I love you, my child. I want you to see. Oh, how much that you mean to me. Oh, how much that you mean to me. Amen. Amen. And you know, that's an ongoing thing of learning how much he loves you, you know. I'm going to have to share a little bit of my testimony just to start with this. You know, I met the Lord in a treatment for alcoholism and drug addiction in 1982. And there I simply turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. I understood him as Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, there was a new beginning. I realized that the things I was facing, my alcohol and drug problems, I could stop, but I could never stay that way. And it had gotten worse and worse. Anyway, all I simply did is I brought that which was broken, stained and dirty, and laid it before the throne of grace. And he took me, and he wrapped his loving arms around me. And he's loved me now for some close to 40 years. I'm close to 40 years now. I kid people a little bit because, you know, I say, well, I get to 40, I'll finally get to go into the promised land. But no, I've been in the promise all the way along. There's just been a few. Anyway, praise God. But that love is an ongoing revelation. And, you know, I tease people. You know, it took me 40 years to come to the place where I am today to realize how much he loves me. And I would rather that, you know, the people I meet, that they would know that just right up front and not have to take, 40 years. But it takes adversity. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. And in the past 2 years have been, I'll start with this, been some of the most glorious time in my relationship with the Master, the most intimate, but it's been some of the most difficult time in my entire life. But as a result of that, I've experienced his love and his mercy and his grace and an intimate relationship that I've never had. And I've come to understand that he loves me, that he loves me. And it's not based on my performance. It's based, I can't make him love me more, I can't make him love me less. He just loves me. And it's through what Jesus Christ accomplished for me on the cross. And I've come to understand that he has fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law in my behalf. And that the Father did that through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. And he laid upon his Son, Jesus Christ, all my guilt, sin, and shame, past, present, and future. He became sin for me. He became sin for you. He was wounded and bruised for my transgressions and iniquities and for yours. He was chastised that you might have peace, that I might have peace. And then, the judgment, the wrath that was appointed unto me and unto you, he poured out upon his dear beloved son. And he died in our place that we could have relationship with him. That's how much he loves us. And the other thing that has come in this last year and a half, 2 years, is that, you know, our flesh, when we know there's something in us, or that our thoughts and intents of our heart are not the greatest, that our tendency as a human, fleshly, is to hide that. Okay. But you know, I came to realize, and I've known this for years, but the Father, he knows me inside and out. I'm not fooling anybody. I'm not hiding anything. But he still loves me. Now, that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. And probably the hardest person that I have to love is me. I still struggle with that. I still struggle with that. But I know that I'm a child of the King, and I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and I'm loved with an everlasting, unconditional love of immeasurable worth, precious and beloved in his sight. And so are you, regardless of where you're at. Regardless of where you're at. And he's not so much interested in your past as he's interested in your future. Because I can fall short today, and I can confess it's gone. My past, the master doesn't remember that anymore. It's gone. I remember it, but he doesn't. That cleansing is complete. But it's an ongoing work of grace, because I just don't need forgiveness once. I still screw up on a regular basis. And I have to confess, you know, I'm an old oil field hand. And there are certain parts of the oil field that have died really hard. And I'll gain on it for a while. And then a cow will do something. And where did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. The pit. From the pit. That's my flesh. That's my flesh. But the main thing I want you to know is that the Master loves you. He loves you. And you're sacred, treasured, and beautiful in his sight. You are... words are not adequate. Just to know that I am loved. I am loved. Anyway, I'm going to go into Gideon's now, I guess. Anyway, praise God. Praise God. You know what my testimony is in a nutshell? I'll share this. I like this anyway, but I hope you like this. My testimony in a nutshell is I'm a high mileage unit, but I'm in good repair. And I've been restored by the Master from the inside out. I've had an in-frame major. From starting at the deepest part, that sin nature that I was born into. That's what he fixed. Anyway, and all I did is bring him the wreckage, and he made something beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Well, now, you know, this time of year, it's the time of year when we... If you're in agriculture or a gardener, you're planting seed. And, you know, sometimes the conditions don't necessarily look the greatest. But does that mean you wait till they look favorable? No. When the season is right, you plant the seed. And what we simply do as Gideons, we simply take the money that you folks give, we transform that into the seed of the Word of God, and then we plant it on your behalf and our behalf. We work together as a team. But we don't do that just, you know, I'm a farmer. I plant in expectation of a harvest, and that's what we do. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of the harvest. One of the good things about being a Gideon is simply that I get these magazines every month, and I bypass most everything, and I go to the testimonies. That's what I love, is testimony. So then when I run across a really good one, I pigeonhole it for just such a time as this. Anyway, that's hallelujah. But this one just melted my heart. This is a testimony of Sandy Boyd. I was raised in Southern California with two other sisters. Our grandmother introduced us to witchcraft at a young age. She gave us incantation books and taught us how to cast spells. We would do seances with our friends down the street, and we thought this was normal. As I grew older, my dad had taken it a step further. Not only was he involved in the occult, but he got involved in Satanism. My dad introduced me to drugs for the very first time when I was only 9 years old. By the time I was 11, I was addicted to these drugs, and I was willing to participate in the occult activity. I watched my rebellious sister come against my dad by refusing to conform to his ways. They put her in a psychiatric hospital at 13 years of age. When she turned 18, she was able to sign herself out. She went through electric shock treatments, was diagnosed as bipolar. Watching my sister go into that hospital, I feared for my life. If I were to come against my dad, I figured the same thing would happen to me. My dad told me all my life that I would be utterly dependent on him. He would be there to supply everything I needed. So I put my trust in him. And that's precisely where he wanted me. By the time I turned 17 years old, I decided to run away from home. I dropped out of school thinking there had to be a better way. I didn't know what I was searching for exactly, but I knew that I had a desire in my heart for someone to love me. Living in California at that time, and in the pursuit of this longing, I ran to Washington State. Still addicted to drugs, I did whatever I could to get drugs without having to turn back to my dad. He always seemed to catch up with me and had people watching to keep tabs on me. I ended up getting married and having a son. I thought that changing my identity would keep my family from finding me. I was still an addict. I was prostituting myself at night, being a mother to my son during the day. I tried to keep custody of my son because he's the only person who loved me unconditionally. This lasted for about a year and a half, and my husband filed for divorce. I lived in the front seat of my car. I had a part-time job trying to cover up my lifestyle. The authorities caught up with me within 2 weeks. I lost total custody of my son without visitation. Part of my heart left that day when they took my son. I began prostituting myself again. I ended up in Texas. Met someone else, tried to continue to change my identity. I got together with him and had a little girl. My dad showed up at my front door about 3 weeks later. I had moved to Texas, and once again that vicious cycle just continued. I was pretty much convinced at the time that there was no way out of this lifestyle. My husband and I ended up divorcing, and shortly after, I received custody of my little girl. I moved in with my sister, who had just gotten out of a psychiatric hospital. One night, I lay in my bed. I felt something nudge the bottom of my bed. I sat up and saw about an 8-foot-tall, hooded figure standing at the edge of my bed. He pointed at me and said, "It's time." I did not understand what that meant. After all my involvement in the occult, I had never encountered an entity like this before. I knew that this was something significant. He continued, "It's time for you to teach your daughter what your grandmother taught you." Little did I know that my grandmother had passed away 3 weeks prior. I knew at that moment a continued cycle was supposed to go on from my grandmother to myself and to my children. I knew this was a supernatural fight, and I had to do something to protect my daughter. The only way I knew to save her was to take my life. My daughter would be then adopted by a normal family who could show her a way of life that I never could. I remember going out to a remote area in a field sitting in the front seat of my car, as I sat there, I was sobbing, and I leaned back, and I had a razor blade in one hand, and my other hand fell to the side in between my seat and the council, and I felt something. I picked it up, and it was a Gideon's Testament, a testament from the Gideons. I had gotten my car from a drug dealer. I knew he wasn't a Christian, and I had never seen this testament in the several years I'd been driving this car. I started thumbing through the testament. I put the blade down. I got to the back pages, and I saw a sample prayer. I read the prayer aloud, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ that day, and I've never been the same since. On the way home to pick up my daughter, I was reciting this prayer. I must have said it 25 times. It's the only prayer I knew, but I kept saying it over and over because it brought me such comfort. The love that I had searched for all my life was just one prayer away. At that moment, I felt a passion in my heart that I had never experienced. I knew that God was close. I went home, grabbed my little girl with so much excitement. I put her to bed about an hour later. The next thing I know, she was screaming at the top of her lungs. I ran into her bedroom. Her ceiling fan was spinning so fast, I thought it was going to drop to the ground. My daughter was standing in the crib, and she was screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, they're biting me." I ran to pick her up, and I saw that she had bite marks on her arm. I huddled in the corner of the apartment, recited that same prayer over and over, rocking my daughter in my arms. God sustained us. The next day, I called my former father-in-law. He was the only person I knew remotely connected to Christianity. I told him what had happened to my daughter and to me. This was a spiritual battle, not a physical battle that I could fight, he said. Please come to Texas. I want you to be part of our fellowship. You're going to need the family of God to support you and teach you how to fight this war. The next day, he paid for our ticket to Texas. We stayed with him and his wife for about 3 years. I was like a sponge, absorbing God's word. I left everything behind, my family. Everything behind, my family had totally excommunicated me because I was serving Jesus. I knew I had to sacrifice everything, my car, my apartment, all that I owned. I was fearful because I had no idea what to expect. But I knew I did not want to return to my old lifestyle. I had the Holy Spirit living in me and my daughter in my arms. And I was ready to sacrifice everything for Jesus. From this point on, God was working behind the scenes the whole time. He was preparing a godly man for me, one familiar with helping people come out of the occult background. I ended up getting married in 2005. We now pastor a church in Garland, Texas, ministering to people who have similar backgrounds as myself. My daughter is almost now 31 years old. She has never cast a spell in her life. She is our worship leader. Her husband is our youth pastor. I'm a first-generation Christian. My daughter is second generation, and her children are just going to carry that on until the end of time. We no longer live under those generational curses because God has redeemed us. If it were not for God using Gideon's International, I would not be here. It's only by his grace. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the outreach you do. There are so many lives you have touched and influenced for the kingdom. On that day, when you meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will look at you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, they always pat us Gideons on the back, but you know, we're just the guys planting the seed. We're just the messenger. And you folks are the ones who have provided the seed money. And we planted that seed on your behalf in expectation of a harvest. And we've just read of one miraculous harvest of many lives. Each of these changed lives is credited to you and to us because we work together. It says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. There's some of us that have the privilege of seeding, some that have the privilege of watering, and some that have the great privilege of bringing the harvest or witnessing the harvest. God brings the harvest in. Praise God. So with that, you know, at the end of the service here, when we dismiss, I'd gladly receive your offering, and however Pastor Kevin wants to do it, we'll do it. So, anyway, how am I doing for time, Pastor Kevin? Because how much do I have left? Well, I'm not sure what direction to go at this time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, now we'll just start. Now, in this past couple years, the Lord brought into my life a young person into our fellowship. And immediately upon the time that this individual was brought into our fellowship, I knew that I was called to minister and pray for this individual. And this individual received Jesus Christ, got set free. But the enemy is a crafty fisherman. So what he does is he throws bait out in front of us. Of course, my sweetie came out of alcoholism and drug addiction. Little by little, was drawn back in. So as a result of that, I began praying fervently. I prayed for my kids. And maybe I did. Maybe I prayed that hard for my kids too. I don't know. But in my spirit, I don't think I ever prayed as hard for anybody in my entire life. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is so good. Because we're never alone. You know, I realize now that he was with me from before I was born. And he was with me on every place of desperation, every time of sorrow. And he's been there every time that I've celebrated joyfully. But anyway, in the process of fasting and prayer, sometimes we're called into intercession. And I've been called into intercession on this individual's behalf many times. But anyway, as a result of that, in that prayer time, spending time with the Master, one day I opened up my Bible, and because I speak Scripture over myself, and I began speaking that Scripture over her. And also, then I had another whole list of my, because I got a whole list of beloveds. I call them my beloveds, those ones I'm praying for. They're my beloveds. They're his beloveds. And, you know, we're his beloveds. We are, too. But I began speaking the Word of God. And you know what's so neat about the Word of God? It says that it'll not return void, that it'll always accomplish for what it's sent out to do. And that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, what I had hoped to do today, and maybe I'll do it now that I'm there, is I want the ushers to come forward here. We're going to make this personal. This is kind of like school. It's an assignment. Ushers, do I have some ushers? I need help. And I don't know if there's pens around here or not, pencils, but share. We don't have to have them back right now. But anyhow, what I want you to do is give that little slip of paper to each one of the individuals out here. And what I want my instructions are to you is I want you to write down the individuals that you are praying for, that you desire to see the Lord. You can write yourself there if you wish. But then we're simply going to speak God's word and some of the precious promises, some of the prayers of Paul. And then we're going to come into agreement because it says one puts 1,000, two 10,000 to flight. Well, there's a lot more than two here today. Anyway. In Jesus' name, we all come into agreement that these prayers and precious promises we read would be sown and engraved into each of our and our beloved's hearts. For your word says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And for the word of God is quick, living, and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, spirit, and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that each one of our beloveds and us would understand Jesus Christ's atoning work on our behalf and acknowledge our and their need of it, believe, receive, confess, and walk in and take ownership of it, the finished works of Jesus Christ. And we ask that in the name of Jesus, each heart would be prepared, be fertile soil, to receive and believe that these truths and precious promises would be sown into each heart, that they would sprout, root in, spring forth, bud and blossom, bring forth fruit and a harvest. Salvation, healing, deliverance in Jesus' name. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead raised to life. Captive set free, gospel preached, the poor in spirit. The leper cleansed both spiritually and physically. In Jesus Christ, all-powerful name, amen. Now we're going to speak the word. We start at Deuteronomy 7. We ask, Father, that each of us and our beloved would realize that we are a holy people to the Lord your God, that the Lord your God has chosen you, us and our beloveds to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves us and our beloveds, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to our fathers, the Father has brought you out with a mighty, righteous right hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3. I've said it so much I probably know it. We'll read it. Sometimes Dale paraphrases, aren't they? The Lord has appeared of old to us and our beloveds, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore,
with loving kindness he has drawn you. Praise God. And then Jeremiah 29:11. I read this scripture for years. I've never taken it personally. And this is one of the scriptures. These are some of the scriptures that the Lord laid in my heart to share with one of my beloveds. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. Praise God. And then 31:10-11. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations and beloveds, and declare it to the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel and the beloved will gather them and keep them as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, us and our beloveds, and ransomed them from the hand of one stronger than they. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? That answer is no. Now I'll go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 19. Keep back your servants, your beloveds, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over us, and we shall be blameless, and we shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And then the Psalms 20 prayer. May the Lord answer you, us, and our beloveds in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. May he grant to you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed, including us and our beloveds. He will answer us from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we and our beloveds, we remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Praise God. Praise God. Then Psalm 23. The Lord is our and our beloved shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though we walk and our beloveds walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint us and our beloved's heads with oil. Our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Praise God. You know, all the years I've read where it talks about the rod and the staff, rod and your staff. I just wonder if that isn't the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. I don't know. Speculation. Hallelujah. And then some from Psalms 27. My old Bible doesn't. I'm going to have to redo my bindings pretty soon. But it's my old friend. And I've retired a lot of old friends, but I don't want to retire this one. How many times I went through and remarked. And they're an old friend. The Lord is our and our beloved's light and our salvation. In whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? When the wicked come against us to eat up our flesh, our enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against us, our hearts shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this one thing we are confident. The one thing that we have desired of the Lord, that we will seek, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide us in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set us high upon his rock. Now our heads is lifted up above our enemies all around us. We offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Hear, O Lord, when we cry with our voice. Have mercy upon us and answer us. When you said, seek my face, our and our beloved's heart said to you, your face, Lord, we do seek. We would have lost heart unless we had believed that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 51. Cast us not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from us or our beloved. Restore unto us and our beloveds the joy of your salvation. Uphold us by your generous speech, spirit. Then we will teach transgressors your ways. Sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver us and our beloveds from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, of my salvation. And my tongue shall shout out of your righteousness. This is Psalm 69, 13. As for us and our beloveds, our prayers to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your tender mercies, hear us in the truth of your salvation. Deliver us and our beloveds out of the mire. Let us not sink. Let us be delivered from those who hate us and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow us, nor let the deep swallow us up, nor let the pit shut its mouth on us. Hear, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to us and our beloved according to your tender mercies. Draw near to our soul, redeem it, deliver us because of our enemies. His word is so good. And then I speak Psalm 91 over each of my beloveds every day, my family. We who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is our and our beloved's refuge and our fortress, our God, in him we do trust. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be and is your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you, We and our beloved have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they bear us up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because we and our beloveds have set our love upon him, therefore he will deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known his name. We shall call upon him and he will answer us. I will deliver him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy and show him my salvation. So be it. Jesus' name. 92, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is our and our beloved's rock, and there is no unrighteousness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many times have you guys been out in a place where you just don't see any hope? You don't see any hope at all. You don't know from where your deliverance, where your help is going to come from. I've been there. I think we've all been there. Well, we'll read Psalm 121. We and our beloveds lift up our eyes to the hills from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you and your beloveds will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, us and our beloveds, shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your coming out and your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Now we make the shift to the New Testament, to Ephesians. Each time as I speak these, the precious gift that he has given us just melts my heart. I mean, I sit there in my bed or in my chair, and I mean, tears just run down my face. How much he loves me, how much he loves you. And you know, if you can go through one heck of a lot if you know there's someone in your corner who loves you and cares about you. And we have one in Jesus Christ and the Father. And we need to be that one to those people out in that lost and dying world. We need to love them. One thing I've shared, you know, I'll be here and gone, you know, so I can step on toes. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, it's an observation, and maybe I'm all wet. And I don't know most, you know, I know you by face, you know. I don't know you intimately like I know our congregation. But I'm going to speak directly as I would to the body of Christ, not to any individual. But I think the body of Christ has been lulled to sleep. We've forgotten that we're commissioned, that we have a job to do, and that he's given us the precious Holy Spirit, that baptism that Christ received, to fill the call that's on our life. And it's not burdensome, it's not hard. Not hard, it's a joy. To make it simple in a nutshell, all we have to do is spend time in his presence. And as he fills our cup, pretty soon it starts spilling over. We just walk out into the day, and pretty soon it's spilling all over whoever we meet. And it's easy. It's not difficult. But anyway, where I was going before I got off on that tangent was, see, what I observe is, you know, we all know the signs that we're seeing, and, you know, the rapture could occur today. It could occur a long time from now yet. But a lot of the signs speak that it could easily come in our lifetime. Easily.
I mean, we see things like where they want one world currency, and you got to have a card to start with to buy or sell. We know where all that goes. But we can see. We know the season, but it just seems like a lot of the body of Christ is so comfortable that they just rather sit in their pew waiting for the rapture. They forgot about the lost and dying world out there, the broken and the hurting. Praise God. He's got a mission for each of you here. He's got a mission for you. You got a call on your life. And you've got the power to. He's equipped you with what you need to do the job. And if it seems impossible, then you know it's for you, because he'll come alongside and do it. For you. For you. Anyway. Please, that was just there, so I had to spit it out. Anyway. And I, you know, it's awful easy to play church. And, you know, because we are. I mean, we're privileged. But how can we keep such a precious gift that we've received to ourselves? We're just like that servant who just buried it in the ground. And there was judgment for that servant. Praise God. Praise God. We'll get back on track here so we can get you out of here. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us and our beloveds with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he has chosen us and our beloveds in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And he has predestined us and our beloveds as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us and our beloveds accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And now we'll go to Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, to us, and our beloveds, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that our eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that you, us, and our beloveds may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but the ages which to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's us. The fullness of him who fills all in all. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we all have access by one Spirit to the Father. Therefore, you are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, members of the household of God. That we and our beloveds have been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus and Christ himself being our chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you, us and our beloveds are also being built together for a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. All. That's humbling to me. To realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come and take up residence in me and in you. Now let's skip on to Colossians. There's more, but for this reason, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and are your beloveds, and ask that they may be filled, and us may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we and our beloveds may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, that we'd be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, that we would understand in Jesus' name that you were once aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he's reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, beloved, holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And that we would understand that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that we and our beloveds are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, that we were buried with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and that you, us, being dead in our trespasses, the uncircumcision of our flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities' powers, made public spectacle over them in it. We're closing in. Now in Thessalonians, and may the Lord make you and our beloveds increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish our and our beloved's hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. And that you'd enable us to abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. Then the Hebrews 13 prayer. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you and our beloveds what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now one more final prayer. I say this is my favorite. Ephesians 3 prayer. They say that, you know, when you do drugs, especially the harder drugs, which I did quite a few of, it changes you. Well, I can't say that, maybe for a time. But anyway, I won't go there. But the love of Christ changes you. And if you know that love, you're not the same. If you experience, and see, that's what it was. In the old days, I experienced those things on the negative side. And I could take a carload of people and you'd be just... But now, my desire is that you would experience the love of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here we go. That he would grant to us and our beloveds, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Could I get ushers to pick up those names? And I got an envelope somewhere. I'll have to go get it. And then we're going to quickly just pray over them, and we're going to place them under the throne of grace. Now, I pray that we're planting seed. That's what the purpose today is, to plant seed in each of those hearts that are written on those. And we plant that seed in expectation of a harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. I hope it wasn't redundant. I get blessed, but some people maybe it seems redundant. Word of God does not, it's not redundant to me. It's life and health. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, there's lots of names. Now this envelope is going to contain Glendive Assembly of God's beloveds. Now, I don't know, I'm not going to tell Pastor what to do, but we should hang that up so every time you walk in this place, you see that and you pray for them, just like your missionaries back there, that you remember. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the fullest envelope I've ever had. I've done this at several churches. This is the fullest envelope. Praise God. And I see the slips are full. I didn't read the names, but they're just plumb full. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you've had fun today. I've had fun. He's so good. You know, whenever I come to a church, I just always say, well, am I going to fall on my face today? I've done that a time or two. And you know, actually the hardest place for me to share is in my own fellowship, honestly. That is really, and I don't know. I don't know. It's the way it is. Okay. All right. Come on up, Pastor Kevin. Now I want you guys to stretch your hands out toward us today.
You lead. I'll agree.
All right. Father, we come before you. You know each and every name that's listed there. We ask that your word that we've spoken today and the prayers would be engraved and would be sown into each heart this day. Yes. We thank you in advance for a harvest. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we call each one out of darkness. Hallelujah. We call them out of darkness into your marvelous light. That the captives would be set free. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We ask that you pour your spirit out. That they'd experience your loving kindness as they've never known it. That they'd hear the sound of your voice. Yes. Feel the moving of your spirit, your loving embrace. And that the years of grief and pain washed away. That they would know you. Go ahead, Pastor Kevin.
Lord God, we just lift these names to you. You know them already. You know how many hairs are on their head.
Yes.
You know every little detail. And for the names that I wrote, it's just such a small fraction of the entire number and names that were listed here. But Lord, you know them personally in a way that is deeper than any one of us know. But Lord, they need you. They need to surrender to your love. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will lead them to a path, to a place where they surrender to your love. Receive your kindness, receive your salvation, and come to know you in a personal way the way we do. We just ask, Lord God, that you will go before us, that your Holy Spirit will prepare the hearts to hear your word and to receive.
Yes.
We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.